It's podcast time for me. It's Wednesday. I often record these on a Monday, but life happened. And to be honest, I wasn't quite as on top of golf news as I wanted to be. Now, let's be clear. I'm never actually on top of golf news because what a weird thing golf news actually is, and mostly pointless. But there was some info I wanted that I couldn't just Google. And those of you that are part of crazy golf Facebook groups, the Golfers Clubhouse being one that's crazy and the most craziest, I think. Well, you guys are going to be podcast famous today. Because yesterday, I think it was yesterday, some time ago, it could have been even this morning, I've been working a lot of hours and I'm starting to lose track of time. Anyway, some time ago, about 12 hours I'm actually thinking, I put a question on the Facebook group, the Golfers Clubhouse. And the question was, if you were 244 yards out from a hole, what would you play? What would your play be even? I don't think that's what I said, but that's what I wanted to say. I think I said, what would you hit? Now, most folks, me included actually, said 3-wood. Now, I would have to absolutely massacre a 3-wood to, you know, on in the flat, no wind, to get it there. You know, regular ground conditions. I've done it. You know, I probably fly my 3-wood 230 pretty high, tends to stop pretty quick because that's what I want from my 3-wood. Playing in baked out conditions, you know, if I get hold of one, I have to worry about traps and stuff at 250, 260. Just because the ball rolls out that little bit more. I certainly don't fly the ball that far. So, apologies for the car alarm going off behind me, but we continue. It's not my car alarm, and that's the important fact for you. Yeah, sorry, I got distracted there. So I have my 3-wood, it's set up for control, flies about 230 and stops pretty sharpish. When I hit my 3-wood well, it flies high and stops. That's exactly what I want. I play a soft shaft in my 3-wood for exactly that reason. Yeah. So, I have had this question, 244 yards out, what would you hit? Most people said 3-wood. A few people saying hybrid. I think if you lump together, half the people probably said 3-wood, and half the people probably said 3-wood, 5-wood, hybrid. And some crazy people, who we're going to call liars, said 4-iron. And I'd just like to refer you to a fact that a couple of years ago, Rory McIlroy hit one of the best golf shots he's ever hit with a 4-iron from 226 yards. So what you're telling me, guys, is roughly you're 20 yards longer than Rory McIlroy. Just ponder that for a minute. And also, I've got a friend who plays on the web who is not the longest on the web by far, but he carries a Titleist 2-iron. I've tried to talk him out of it, but, you know, money talks, bullshit walks into your golf bag. And he flies his 2-iron 225. He says, you know, he can step on it and squeeze a bit more out of it, but a normal swing goes 225. And he's on the Korn Ferry Tour, and you're not, but you claim to be longer. Great work, guys. Really, truly great work. So this guy on the web, I couldn't call it the web because he's not on the Korn Ferry Tour, from 244 and baked out conditions, will probably hit a smooth 2-iron. You know, he's still got clubs in the bag from that range. He's got, you know, 2-iron plays like a 5-wood, roughly. So he's got 20 yards to his 3-wood, 20 yards to his driver, minimum. And then, you know, driver swing, driver setup, he's probably getting an extra 20 yards, flies the ball 275, 280. Standard. Standard tour player who's on the shorter side of the here. So, 244, what would you play? Mostly 3-woods, mostly hybrid 5-wood, mostly, and then another section we're going to call. No, there was 4 groups actually. There was liars, and then there was sensible people who were like, do you know, I might hit 7-iron sand wedge, I might hit hybrid. One guy put something like, I'd hit my hybrid because it goes 215 and I'd try and knock my 58 to a 4. That's solid golf. That's golf that I put in the category of don't be a dick. Because I've been 244 from the hole in tournament play and desperately wanted to make it on. Because usually you're on a par 5, right? And you're like, I want to look at eagle here. And it is a stretch for me to get my 3-wood there if I've got to fly it. So like, I'm going to have to step on this. I'm going to have to hit this hard and high and get it to fly all the way. It's got to carry that bunker. It's got to do. And you're all thinking, oh yeah, it's going to go in that bunker. No, I fuck it up. And then I hit a snap hook and I'm ended up with like a 60-yard wedge. And then you end up making par because you hit your 60-yard wedge out of the shit to like 10 feet and you two-putt and you walk off for like a par like a dick when you should have been looking at hitting hybrid to, you know, 40, 50 yards, stuffing a sand wedge in close and having a really good look at birdie. That's sensible golf. Someone else put, a very, very loyal listener to this podcast, put he'd hit 7-iron and then a full sand wedge. Again, it's smart golf, playing to your numbers. You know, he's I would guess he's like, my 7-iron flies 140, 145. My sand wedge flies 100, 105. It's great numbers for me. 7-iron sand wedge. And I really acknowledge that as a smart way to play par golf. You are not going to win pro golf tournaments that way, but you are going to win a shit ton of amateur golf tournaments that way. And in fairness, this guy does win a shitload of amateur golf. So, why did I ask this question? Why 244? Why not 243, 245, etc., etc.? Here's the reason. You'll notice, dear listener, that I've been a huge fan of the Ladies European Tour. And this week that tour moved to India for the Hero India Open, played at the DFL Championship Country Club track, whatever it's called, right? DFL. It's got 2 courses, an Arnie Palmer one and a Gary Player one. This weekend, the tournament wrapped up its 4 days at the Gary Player course, which measures from the tips 7,600 yards. Now, hold that. I don't know what the playing yardage was for the ladies. I couldn't find that info online. Again, I told you I was looking for information. I think it was Christina Wolf that won, and her average drive is 244 yards. So let's say they pulled it back a bit. Let's say they knocked a few hundred yards off. So it plays from the tips, 7,006. They could knock 50 yards off 12 of the holes, and it's still a 7,000-yard course, which is a serious track in most people's world. So let's call it a 7,000-yard course. Okay, she drives the ball 244 yards. She was 11 under through 72 holes, winning by 3. Great, great performance as well by Meg McLaren, my country mate from the UK. Congratulations to Amy Bolden from North Wales, who's playing in the Gary Player tournament next month in New York. I'm getting clued up about this, guys. I think I've met Amy when we were juniors. She's a couple of years younger than me, a lot of years younger than me, but I think we met when she was starting out. There were two lady golfers when I was coming up through golf in North Wales that were seriously good. One girl who I think played Ladies European Tour called Becky Brewerton, but I don't think she's playing anymore. And another one who's Amy Bolden, played from a club down the road from me. And I think when she was tiny, I bumped into her once or twice and she was playing, I think. I'm going to try and get Amy on the podcast so we can talk all things North Wales. But I digress. We talk a lot about golf and how far we hit clubs and how to score well. Could any of you imagine being 11 and... Well, let's say, could any of you imagine being under par on a 7,000-yard golf... a 7,000-yard golf course with, and just to quote some of you, nothing longer than a 4-iron in your bag? Now, the smart golfers who said they'd lay up, we're going to discount them. But the rest of you, nothing longer than a hybrid, nothing longer than a 5-wood. Can you imagine going under par with that little firepower? I preach and teach a drill where you play with 7 clubs. One of them cannot be a driver. And it makes you a smart golfer. Hit me up if you want details on it. I can refer you to the guy who put me onto that. If you listen to older podcasts, Golf Nerds, look back for just your average golfer, Barney. He put me onto that method and I loved it. And I think once dry season kicks in here, I'm going to put in 72 holes with half a set of clubs just to get my game and my shot making back on point. So, 72 holes, 11 under, you can't hit much further than 244. That, my friend, is some golfing. That woman and all of those ladies who are under par on that track are serious golfers. The winner's driving accuracy was 91%. We talked about driving accuracy as a slightly flawed stat last week, but let's just revisit it quickly, because she could be playing to be as close to the left edge of a fairway as possible to get the perfect angle in. The shot, you know, bounces offline 1 yard, and she's just 1 yard in the first cut with a lob wedge. But that's one of those 9% of missed drives. But she's only missed her target by a very small amount. I did also say Jordan Spieth's driving averages, driving accuracy stat is lower than you'd expect for that, because he plays to very small targets. He likes to have the right angle. He would rather be coming in from the perfect side of the fairway, just in the rough, than in the middle when it's not right for him, because that's how he plays. So can you imagine that? 91%. Think of that. Over 9% of 72 is pot pickers. Is, well, let's call it 7 to be, well, it's not generous, is it? We're being critical of a game. Of the, let's say, 14 driving holes on a golf course, 14 times 4 is, come on guys, 56. She missed 7 fairways out of 56. And you know for a fact some of them she will have missed by feet. She'll just been in the first cut. So let's say half of the fairways she missed were not a bad swing. They just, ball took a little bit of a gammy bounce and put her in the first cut. So then in 56 tee shots, she missed three or four. Guys, I put it to you that most male golfers would be happy just to miss three or four fairways around. Certainly in amateur golf. In professional golf, not so much, but they take two. These girls can golf. It's incredible, right? What an amazing stat. 91% driving average. I'm not going to go too much into the tournament this week. Mainly because I didn't get the chance to watch it that I wanted to, even though it was streamed online. Life happened for me over the weekend. I just didn't get to it. You might be discovering I'm not the best podcast to listen to if you want like blow-by-blow accounts of what happened in a tournament, but I do put in some time reading and watching clips and watching highlights, and I will try and draw out for you, listener, the standout. And the standout for me is how flipping good is that performance. 11 under on a longish golf course, and you can't hit the ball more than 244. Well, you don't often hit the ball more than 244 yards, which I'm a short hitter and I can do that. I know a guy through a Facebook group who's laughed at for being a short hitter, and he's a solid golfer. But, you know, he hits the ball further than 244. His average might be 244. You just can't imagine how good these golfers are from 200 yards out. That's your takeaway. If you want to be that good, if you want to shoot par on long golf courses, you go to your practice area or throw some golf balls down on your favourite hole from 200 yards. You need to be hitting the green from there. You need to be able to control your swing so that you can control your miss. So that you know if it misses left or right, long or short. Then you practice chips from those misses. That's how you get good. So for me, I'm going back to basics because I'm not playing the most golf at the moment. My golf swing's set up for a hook, so I'm just owning that and eliminating the right-hand side of the golf course. If I want to score, if I want to go low, I need to be able to hit a fade, but I'm just accepting that I'm gone from par on a bad day to par on a good day because I'm not practicing enough. But I want to keep my swing alive, so, and my game alive, so I can still, you know, break 80 on a bad day. And that's the reality. Now, just while we're talking about my game, those of you that follow me on Facebook, which, look me up, Guy Cross, picture of me in a perfect P7-ish position. It's my photo, all dressed in black. Says I'm an English teacher now, I made that change. Follow me on Twitter as well if you want, Golf Nerd Guy. But anyway, those of you following me on Facebook will have seen a post I made that I went to a warehouse full of old golf clubs and I picked up five Dreamers today. I picked up a Hogan Apex 1 and 2 iron with a number 4 flex steel shaft in. I haven't quite worked out exactly what that means for my game. I think what it means is I might be buying some recoils to put in them. I've just spilt Diet Coke down my chin. I'm going to keep going. So, yeah, I got the 1 and 2 iron of the Hogan Apexes. I got McGregor Tawny Persimmon forward. In gamed but good condition. That had a light flex shaft in it. And then I got an old school Pittsburgh Persimmons tailor-made 3 wood and 5 wood. to round out my TaylorMade Torbjörner Woods collection. So, I just need to get a shaft for the driver that I already have. If any of you do have a driver head that you would like to donate me, driver shaft, that will go into a TaylorMade Torbjörner, I will do something beautiful for you. Maybe even romantic. I'd love it. I want a cool shaft. I'm thinking of trying to get one in the old Flex Twist colours, just because that would make me smile, black and white. I think there's a Mitsubishi one that I could get pretty cheap. Either that or an old Tour AD in it, because I love those shafts, and I love those shafts. Or an Adela, good old gold Adela graphite shaft. Now, I want to talk to you about a guy I spoke to as well. Now, I put this at the end of the podcast on purpose because I want the diehards to listen to this. Those that, you know, like my podcasts. I've talked a lot about podcast sponsorship, and I get enough numbers that I would justify having a sponsor, and I've laughed at people for having shithole sponsors and all of this stuff. And yeah, I spoke to a guy. And let me tell you what he sells. He sells the nicest golf clothes I've ever heard of. Now, I've talked about how Puma look after me here, and they do, and they're great, but these guys don't compete with Puma. And this is, if you bought shirts or trousers or even a couple of golf bags off this guy, you're not taking business away from Puma, because this guy's not selling $50 polo shirts. He's called Qaja Golf, run by a guy called Tony, who, you know, I've been approached by a few guys about podcast sponsorship, and you just realise that you're going to deliver so much more to the deal than they are, that it's not worth it. And one way you assess that is, like, is this person the real deal? Oh my, is this person the real deal? So, what this guy's background is he's a bespoke tailor. Like, I don't know if he had a place on Savile Row, but he, of that quality of suit. And he was making suits for Premier League soccer players to wear before and after the game. You'd imagine the soccer players, when they're on TV, come out looking sharp. He was the guy dressing a lot of them. And famous guys. Those of you fan of football in the 90s, he started dropping names like Alan Shearer and others that escape me right now. He sent me his kind of biography, and, you know, I mentioned a couple of sports brands, but this guy, he's just a step up. Yeah, so you might have your Olympic team sponsored by, you know, pull whatever name you want out of a hat. This guy was the guy putting their fancy suits together that they'd wear when they are at the opening ceremony looking super sharp. You'll be fully aware that golfers and most pro sports people might wear, let's say, X brand sports gear, but what they're wearing you can't buy in a shop. Even if they are using the actual shirts you can buy, they're not cut in the same way. Do you genuinely think Tiger Woods just asks for a double XL because he's stacked? Nike polo shirt. Now, he might get double XL Nike polo shirts, but he doesn't put them on. He then sends them to his tailor, who cuts them for him. Same with his pants and all of that. And to be fair, do you know how I know that? Because that's what I do. Especially golf pants, because I've got short legs. I get all of my pants custom fit. I'm not Ricky Fowler, but I get my Puma golf pants and they give me whatever and I get them custom made. Now, just talking a little bit more about Tony. I spent an hour on the phone with this guy and it should have been a podcast, but we've got a more exciting podcast coming in the post, in the mail. He's telling me about the golfers he's worked with. Because you're like, yeah, cool, he's worked with all these other sports, but this is a golf podcast, and damn straight. Guy used to dress Darren Clark, Phil Mickelson, G-Mac. He's just taken 7 years off. You know, life got in the way of his business, and it meant he had to take 7 years off work. And he's come back with his own, he's coming back with his own golf brand. And you're like, oh, you know, those guys sharply dressed. But there's more to it than that. He started out as a tailor making golf clothes for 25 golfers on the European tour. They were probably putting their own logos on and all of that, but he was actually making their clothes. Whether those guys were sticking Ping, Callaway, Nike, Puma, whatever on those clothes, they were his clothes with the right logos on. Again, no surprise that that happens. And he's got his break into being bigger because he was making golf pants. And you're like, and? He was making golf pants in an era where there were no golf pants. Those of you that played golf in the 80s and 90s, because presumably not many of you who are playing golf in the 60s and 70s are listening to the podcast. When I started playing golf, my favourite golf pants I got from Burton's, which is a regular clothes shop in the UK. My normal day-to-day golf pants, because I play golf every day, were from a British shop called Marks and Spencer's. And they were Borks, they fit me, and you know, short legs. That's how it used to be done. You just bought regular pants and a golf polo shirt, golf shoes and a glove. This guy invented golf pants. The little cut, you have the slit, so it works for your feet. He put that into golf pants. Let me tell you another story about me that I told to Tony. He just went, yeah, I invented that. I was working in Indonesia, taking freebies from anyone that would give me them, but not with a proper company. I think I've talked about that before. So then I came to Panama, started working with Puma straight away. And of course, I'm still friends with folks in Indonesia. And I call one of my buddies who's still coaching out there, and I say to him, sir, because I don't want to give his name away, you want to try these Puma pants. They are clearly the best golf pants I've ever worn. Like, it's great I've got the polo shirts, the shoes are fine, but the pants, fuck me, they're amazing. He's like, guy, what's so amazing about them? Like, they've got this little rubber strip around the top seam, so when you're swinging, your shirt doesn't come out. It doesn't come untucked. It pissed me off. That always used to happen to me. Puma pants have this rubber strip. All of them have it. And he's like, guy, my Mizuno ones have that. I think you've just been buying shithole trousers for golf. And he might have been right. He might have been wrong. I got rid of my sort of pre-Puma gear so I couldn't go back and see what was going on. Maybe I just never noticed them. But I played that back to Tony and he says, yeah, I invented that. So when I'm talking to someone about sponsoring a podcast, I was pretty interested. You know, can you understand why my ears pricked up? Why I'm telling you this? Why I've spent 10 minutes telling you this? Because for a start, this is a guy I want on the podcast because he's worked with some people and he's got some stories. And I stopped him from telling me stories because I wanted to hear it live when we were recording. But do you want to hear from this guy and about his clothes? He's got a bespoke range of clothing. What that means is if you've got some money if you want to treat yourself to some golf clothes that are going to last you the rest of your days, what you can do is call this guy and he will custom make you golf clothes. You talk about these shithole, what they call, you know those boxes, monthly boxes you can get? They're not a shithole, that's unfair. But you know, they're not, they say they give you the Tour Pro experience. That's not the Tour Pro experience. This is the Tour Pro experience. Because he's the guy making the clothes for Tour Pros. Make sense? I've talked about how the Tour Pro fitting experience is not your fitting experience. Well, the Tour Pro clothing experience is not just getting, you know, a set of clothes with some logos on that all match. It's about getting clothes that are absolutely made for you, and you can buy that. It is not cheap. He doesn't do, you know, a January sale on his bespoke range. But he does have an off-the-shelf range, which again, I've not asked him about because I want to talk to him about that live. But doesn't this sound cool? Don't you think? We've not talked, I've not talked money or anything with this guy, but it's the first real sponsor who's been interested in me, and I've been going, no, fuck yeah, this is, you've got something that makes me excited. Orca Golf make freaking amazing golf clubs, and Alex knows I am a passionate fan of his gear. But, you know, he's not interested in sponsoring my podcast. And that's fine. It's not fine. I sobbed when I found that out. Sobbed. No, I didn't, Alex. So I never asked. But it's just this opportunity to do, to hear from and work with someone who's got something unique doesn't come very often. I often get asked why I don't play a Scotty Cameron putter. And why I play Tad Moore putters. And let me tell you why, if I've not told you before. Because when I want to know something about my putter, I pick up my phone, and get on Messenger, and send Tad a message. And he answers. I can't do that with Scotty Cameron. I can't do that with the guy who builds clubs for Scotty Cameron or the guy who designs clubs for Scotty Cameron. You know, you can't get that access. I use Tad Moore putters because they're the top-notch quality gear. And if I've got questions or I need advice, I go to the man. And it's not that I need to speak to the original club maker, but at least I can speak to someone, and I can't do that with a mainstream brand. Even though there's guys at TaylorMade from the Tour Van who take my calls, there's a guy from Callaway Van who takes my calls. It's just not the same, is it? So if you're wearing your Nike polo shirt and you think you look the mutt's nuts, and you may well do, or you splashed out, you got yourself some Ralph Lauren gear, you look freaking awesome, I'm sure you do. But if you've had an idea for some golf clothes that you've always wanted to try out, if you take your clothes seriously, having a guy like Tony in your phone, where you can go, hey, I saw this, I like this, what can we do? That's special, right? And it's not just going to your local tailor, because this guy knows golf inside out. Isn't that unique? Isn't that fascinating? Guys, I have covered all of the points I want to. I'm not sure I explored my vintage golf bag as deeply as I wanted to, but it's ongoing. And I'm sure I'll return to that. I really dug deep on the ladies' tour stuff and driving distance. I'm going to keep talking about the ladies' European tour, and I'm definitely going to try and get some of their players on the pod. We talked about clothes and something interesting that happened to me. It started to rain quite heavily here. I'm sure you can hear it. It's getting heavier by the second because I do control the weather. Let me, it's black over there and sunny over there. And that's the sort of illustration that works so well on a podcast, and that's what keeps you listening and coming back every week on that oral masterpiece. Goodbye.